Welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love cash registers.
That was good. I like that.
I'm Michael Ann, and with me as always is Bethany. How's it going?
Hi, everyone. I just waved like y'all could see me. Like, we haven't done this for... actually counted. Our 100th episode is coming up, everyone, and I was trying to see if it aligned with 4th of July, because how perfect would that be for a podcast where, you know, obviously Sarah Destin is key and 4th of July is so key, but I think it'll be like the week before 4th of July, so maybe we just have to take one more week off so we can make it. No, I'm just kidding. But I am doing great. How about yourself? How are you doing? I need a bang trim desperately, but other than that, I'm fine. what they're doing right now. They're so long right now. They are being trimmed ASAP.
Chilling, man. I'm chilling. I drove to and from Orlando this weekend. Saw a comedy show. Two Dykes and a Mike. If you're queer, I think you'll really enjoy. Maybe if you're straight, too. I mean, I don't fucking know. But I doubt it. I don't know. Anyway.
I'll listen to it. I'll let you know.
Thank you. Rachel Scanlon and Mackenzie Goodwin. They're hilarious. So check them out. Like, they need a shout out for me. They do not.
They're thriving. They're doing great.
Yeah. I could use a shout out from them, actually.
Yeah. If they'd like to shout out our podcast, I'd be really pleased, to be honest.
And also, to explain our tag today, Bethany is reading us Sarah Destin's short story called Registry. Okay, well,
yeah. So even better that you went with cash registers. Yeah. Right before we hit record, I said, "Michael, it's your week to tag a fan. You haven't read it. Do you want to give it a go?" I'm like, "Oh, won't it be fun if you just guess what it's about?" And she's like, "Okay," and that's what she came up with. And honestly, I'm pleased. It was pretty great.
Yeah. And I feel dumb now because I thought it was registers and it's registry. Those are not the same thing.
I kind of come, now that you know that it's called registry, what do you think it's about? If you had to take a guess before I tell you.
All that's coming to mind for me is a wedding registry or like a baby registry.
Yeah, you are spot on. It is kind of about a wedding registry. Before I fully dive in, I'm just going to let y'all know. So this comes from everyone. Long story short, which is Flash Fiction by 65 of North Carolina's finest writers, edited by Marianne Ginger. I apologize if I'm pronouncing your last name right, Marianne. This basically was put on, like, UNC, University of North Carolina, like, published it. And so it is obviously 65 of North Carolina's finest writers. But it does happen to be a lot of people that are in the Chapel Hill or have connection to the University of North Carolina, obviously. So since our girl Sarah... went to UNC, her parents taught at UNC. She briefly taught at UNC. And of course, to this day, still lives in the greater Chapel Hill area. Obviously, she fits the bill. And her story, her short story is called Registry. It is on page 51. And let me just tell y'all, okay, two things. Two things really excite me about this episode. One, we only have two pages to talk about. So there's no way we can go on too long, everyone. Just kidding. We'll find a way.
We will.
But the two things that really excite me is, as you all know, because we talk about it ad nauseum, Mike Lane and I are big fans of You're Wrong About. And this is the most You're Wrong. Like, I like feel like Sarah Marshall right now. Like, it's a book club episode. I'm reading to my guest what book we like, what the weird thing I found. It's not about the Satanic Panic, sadly. I know, real bummer. But I really feel like Sarah Marshall. So that pleases me. Second thing. So this comes from, again, a collection of short stories, which is entitled Long Story Short. So already I was like, Evermore vibes. Bitch, let me tell you, everyone. This short story is straight up Evermore vibes. Like, there are so many songs, like in two pages, there were so many songs. At first I was like, this is giving champagne problems. And then by the end, I was like, this is giving something that I did not expect. I don't want to spoil yet. We'll get into it. But like, there were some Evermore vibes that I myself was not prepared. And as an Evermore girly, we stan. Okay. Thank you so much, Miss Destin, for bringing this into my life. But yeah, so I read it. So I'm going to go ahead and just, again, it's like two pages. So we're just going to briefly discuss it. And we'll go from there, basically. And life finds a way. All right. So yes, it is called Registry. And as Michael Ian guessed, it is about a wedding registry of sorts. So basically our protagonist, who never actually gets named, we know her lover's name, which is Tom, but we never actually get to learn her name. It starts off when Tom said he wanted to call off the wedding. The first thing I thought of were the gifts. They'd be coming for weeks, arriving almost daily. Place settings, shiny new ladles, perfect castlet dishes without a single chip. So we're setting the scene. Basically, the protagonist has just been dumped. She's got a little bit of champagne problems. She's upset. She's very upset. So he's saying, like, I think we moved too fast. You know, this isn't what I expected. I just need some time to think. And she's over here thinking about, you know, her lost love. And what is she going to do with all these gifts? She's had these really good gifts coming in. So then we explain more. They met in a cooking class. So our protagonist, she says, almost a spinster daughter, was living off of meals for one. So a cup of soup, a pack of ramen, a single Lean Cuisine. And her mom decided she needed to sign up for this cooking class. I don't know, probably to get a man. Let's face it. Most boomer moms are like,
yes,
you need a man in your life. And you're like, I don't. Actually, I'm fine. I say with love to my husband. But, and also with love to my mother, who is the boomer mother, who never was like, when are you going to get married and give me grandkids? Never did that to me. So thanks, mom. But anywho, so this boomer mom, though, was all like, listen, lady, enough of this, you know, Lean Cuisine and cup of noodles. You need to go learn how to cook so you can catch yourself a man. And she does. She says, you know, she talks about how essentially one of their first nights they were doing egg whites, and so they needed a whisk, and Tom's little unit was short a whisk. And so she goes over to share one, and she says that our love began with utensils. So again, this kind of cute registry theme really kind of goes through. Very cute, right? I liked that line. So she says that she felt for Tom and cooking at the same times. His own skills never really kind of blossomed from this class, but she really got into it. She says that she really liked, she really ended up falling in love with cooking, and he especially loved exotic foods. So she kept signing up for more classes after her basic cooking instruction. She's like, I'm going to take this class. I'm going to take that class. So she works her way through all of these, you know, that the night school offered. She says, I learned to roast pheasant, pickled my own ginger, and special ordered by mail a frozen springtail jellyfish, the meat of which was supposed to be the most tender and sweet you'd ever tasted. They were also poisonous. Miss a step in the intricate filleting process, and the results could be lethal. Mine had just arrived when Tom announced he was moving out, which, like, could be lethal. Tom, it arrives the day that he says that he's moving out. Heartbreaking. Sarah, beautiful, love that. Love yes. That picture you painted for us. So then she says, I also really enjoy this, and as two ladies who recently had to plan a wedding and know how stressful it was, this definitely hit me. She says, wedding planning is like a force of nature. You're not supposed to stop it once it begins, and yet that was what I was expected to do. Cancel the band, the caterer, the flowers. Somehow explain to the priest that God hated me, so services were no longer required. It was like retracing your steps, but finding yourself more lost along the way, not less. And yeah, I feel that as a lady who once planned a wedding somewhat recently. Also, sad. That's just a sad. I liked the retracing your steps, but finding yourself more lost along the way, not less. So her mom, her boomer mom, is like, listen, lady, these have got to be returned. And she's lovingly, you know, our protagonist here is lovingly looking at all of these beautiful new things. Again, she's fallen in love with cooking as much as she has fallen in love with our boy Tom. And so she's looking at all of these beautiful things, and she's like, you know, so much potential. I imagine myself going back to my chipped Corel plates, the mismatched gas station giveaway mugs, my worn placemats stained with the spills of 1,000 lonely dinners, my life before Tom, my better life than never, who is choosing me, quiet of the plucking of elderly aunts, saved me from piercing out my life in dollar store tablespoons. So all of this beautiful new cutlery and these pots and this pans and all these things she was so excited to use now that she loves cooking and she's starting her life with Tom, she can. And that's that. But yeah, so she says now he's changed his mind, and a couple of her girlfriends come over with, you know, basically some note cards because they're going to start writing to people like, hey, those save the dates, those invites, like, cancel that, you know, record scratch. So finally, she says, you know, she hasn't been able to see Tom. She asked him, you know, since he told her that it was, you know, he had changed his mind, he left her. So she says, like, do you want to come over just to, you know, get your stuff? You have a lot of stuff that you left here. And he says that, you know, he'll come over. So then she decides food brought them together. Maybe it can bring him back to her. So she decides she wants to make a meal for Tom, right? Basically to try to win him back. So she says, I went through hundreds of recipes, even as the travel agent left increasingly concerned messages about our honeymoon tickets and my dress set at the tailor's. Halfway altered, part of me, part no one. Oh. That's a heartbreaking line. Yeah. My friends trying to help, that's when they arrive and whatever. And they're, you know, clucking around and being like, this is terrible. Has anyone suggested Prozac? Maybe she can just keep them, as, you know, the wedding registry stuff. And so the one friend says, no, you're only allowed to do that if the groom dies. She says, It was if I could see these last four words coming toward me. They circled the earthenware mixing bowls, slid down the custom pizza stone, then curled themselves inside my mini souffle dishes, precious as jewels. As I stared at them, slowly they became something I recognized, a small sea creature with a tail like a spring. Just then, from the front porch, there was the sound of another gift arriving, like a defibrillator touching my chest. Thump. So I think she's going to kill Tom because she wants to keep the wedding gifts. No body, no crime, baby. This is some Evermore shit. I was like, the whole time you're like, wow, this is really sad. This is, you know, she's so heartbroken and her wedding dress is left altered. And then you, I think, realize at the end, plot twist, she is way more in love with her wedding gifts than she is with Tom. And she might literally kill him with this jellyfish to keep them. Not what I was expecting out of Sarah Destin. And let me tell y'all, I was floored. I lived for it. I loved it. Two pages of brilliance.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
What,
oh my God.
What a great story. I was like, oh, this is really, I was like, okay, like this is, because like the Sarah that we know and love, and again, like this is what Sarah does so brilliantly, is like that good angst. And it was like very angsty and very much about love. And again, kind of, even though this character is a little older than most of our normal Sarah protagonists, like very much sounds like it's one of her first like real loves, you know? So you're like, first love, lost, whatever. And then you're like, wait a minute. What she really loves is she's learned to love cooking and loves all this new sweet stuff she's got for cooking. And she's like, I'm gonna have him kill Tom. It's his fault. He left me first. I can keep this shit if he dies. Brilliant.
Wow.
Absolutely wow. Brilliant. That's it. Like, that's the story, y'all. That's pretty much all we have to say about this story. But I will say a couple other fun things about Long Story Short here that I picked up. We picked up at Flyleaf Books. Humble name drop there. When we were up in North Carolina visiting our queen, Sarah Destin, humble brag. But I really haven't looked at it. I, like, put it on my bookshelf all excitedly. And I remember, like, looking and being like, oh, like, this is Sarah's story. But I didn't read it until basically just recently for this podcast. But I opened it up tonight to search the table of contents to find our girl Sarah's story. I'm going to find out that at the very beginning, it was signed by one of the authors, Courtney Mitchell. And it says, thank you, Alan Mary. So Alan Mary, which we did find this in the, like, used book section in Flyleaf Books, so it must have belonged to Alan Mary. So Courtney has signed it. And then when I was flipping through trying to find Sarah's, another author signed it, like, by their short story. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I did go down an entire rabbit hole about who Courtney Mitchell was, because honestly, I did not realize that this other person had signed, or else I would have also gone down a rabbit hole about them, y'all best believe. And I can't really find out too much about her, but I think she might be currently back at UNC. Kind of UNC adjacent, I guess. It looks like when I Googled her, it looks like she might be the general manager of the Daily Tar Heel now, as of 2021. So Courtney Mitchell, if that is the same Courtney Mitchell, hope you're doing well. Hope you're helping young journalists out there, thrive. So we respect that. We respect anyone, you know, in education or education adjacent jobs. So yeah, respect. And now I'm gonna have to read your story because you signed my copy of it.
Yes, so definitely.
I'll be checking out Courtney's story. And why can't I find this other person? Oh, here it is. So yes, also on Nero, written by Michael Malone. Michael also signed. So now I'll have to check out his story. Two people. So yeah, Alan Mary. Thanks for bringing that back to Flyleaf so I could pick it up and I could read this very Evermore-y short story. That was very delightful.
I'm not gonna lie, I was like, oh man, that guy must have died. And his family.
It's very possible that that maybe he did pass on and his family was like, we're gonna donate his book collection.
Yeah.
Like an old either way. Or something. Yeah, so I could have some old man's novel who passed on. And if so, I hope, you know, I hope you went peacefully, sir. But and not by poison jellyfish. But if
yikes.
You didn't, if you're still alive out there, I hope you're also thriving. I don't know personally what you're doing now, but I hope you're doing well. And yeah, I have attempted to write short stories many times in my life. I mean, I had to a lot for different classes. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's an art form. Like, it is very difficult to tell a story in a succinct fashion. Clearly, you all have heard me talk, so you know that I'm not one to be brief. But yeah, I've done it a few times. But even some of the short stories I wrote were like longer form short stories. Mm-hmm. And that I find much easier than like literally having to write something in 2 pages and make it be a complete story. I find that very difficult. So kudos to all 65 people in this novel who were able to write like these cute little short stories and make them be like very impactful in such a short period of time. So that's very impressive to me.
I am also very impressed.
Yeah,
I have my undergrad years just like blocked out of my memory at this point. I'm like, I say undergrad years as if I have anything else.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, we stopped there. that's very fair. Oh gosh, I sure did.
I got you into sure grad did. School.
You did, yeah. You like went so. For a week, and that counts.
It does. It
you
does.
Were accepted into grad school, so I think that counts. I sure as heck never tried to go to grad school. So you have a one up on me for there for sure. I will say one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was actually from one of my first creative writing professors that I took a creative writing class in. But anywho, so yes, my creative writing professor. I took I think like 2 different semesters of creative writing. I don't know, there may have been another, I'm not really sure anymore. And it's all also kind of a blur. But anywho, my first one, the first story that I turned in, he was pretty receptive to. But the one thing he said was, like, if someone is currently going through something, they don't have perspective. And so you can't, if you're writing in a first-person narrative, like, it's jarring to write, like, this person has perspective. He's like, how does she have perspective on this? Like, it's happening currently. And I was like, yeah, you're, and I didn't even, like, when I was writing, I didn't think, like, oh, she's, like, being really wise about what's happening to her. Like, I was just writing. And then when he said that, I reread my story, and I was like, oh, shit, he's right. Yeah, like, she's already talking about this. Like, this happened ages ago, and she's had time to sit with it and think on it. So I've always now, like, since then, if I'm writing on something, like, I'll always do it, and, like, we'll start kind of in the future, and then we'll kind of, like, go back to show that, like, oh, she is, like, thinking back on this, like, this isn't currently happening to her kind of situation. Mm-hmm. To kind of have more perspective. So yeah, so thank you, creative writing professor, for showing me that if you're kind of like in the present with something, even though like most people write in past tense, right, you know. Mm-hmm. But like I think again, like Sarah Destin is a great example of this, like in, you know, the novels that we read, like these characters aren't understanding what their mom is going, like it isn't until like they sit mm-hmm. down with their mom at the end of the novel and are like, oh, I understand what's going on, because like why would they, it's currently happening to them, you know. You don't have that perspective as a teenager to be like, let me put the shoe on the other foot and see how this could be hard for my mom, or see how this could be whatever, or what they're thinking. So yeah, I feel like that's something as like a fresh writer you forget sometimes, because you as the author have the perspective and you're like, well, this is mm-hmm. what's happening, like this is why you're feeling this way, but your character doesn't. And that was really good, helpful advice, I will say. So thank
that
you.
That is good, sir. Advice.
Hope wherever you are out there, you're doing well. This is this podcast today. It's just Al, who originally had this. Hope you're doing well. My creative writing professor, hope you're doing well. Hope you're thriving.
Yeah. That other author, Christina Moore, was that her name?
Yeah. Courtney Mitchell.
He wasn't even fucking close. It wasn't even close.
And forever. I think Michael's last name was Moore. Was it Michael Moore? I think that might be what you're
Michael Moore?
Like the documentarian. Shoot, what was his name? Now I gotta find it again. I gotta flip through. Michael Malone.
Michael Malone, okay.
We're both really on top of it. And this is why, everyone, we're not recording next week. Because if you think yes. that we're like this out of it this week, just wait till next week when I can't even compute what life is going to be like, what my brain is going to be like. So, mm-mm.
I know.
Yeah, everyone.
It's going to be crazy. Just you know what wait. I was... We'll just talk about random thoughts, I guess, now, because we're only 20 minutes in. So.
Yeah, because we have to give you, like, a full episode. We'll give you a little bit more. We'll give you a little more. Also, I just want everyone to know, while we have the time to chat, because on Thursday, we're going to be, like, our episode is going to go long already. So we're going to get out some of the other things we want to say now. This is, like, half dust and half chaos, everyone. Surprise. But we have decided... Mike Lana and I and our friend Katie that's going on a trip that we are going to try our best not to spoil ourselves for the concert, i.e. like we were pretty certain at this point that Tortured Poets Department is being added to the set list and we don't want to know where and we don't want to know the songs. So we're going to try our best to like mute certain group chats, mute certain things on Instagram. I'm telling everyone this at work today who are like normal people who don't hyperfixate on things and are constantly scrolling on the internet, I guess. And they were like, why can't you just like not go on Instagram? And I go, for 10 days.
Yeah.
Like who would think such a thing? And I was like, I don't think you realize how chronically online I am. And I was like, I'm already going to like give up TikTok for 10 days because I know that there's like no way that I'm not going to run into something there. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to run the risk. So I was like, I really am just going to like avoid using TikTok for, you know, whatever a week, which like I think is doable for me because I'm not on TikTok that much. But I was like, do not ask me as a millennial woman to give up Instagram for that long. I draw the line there.
If I gave up TikTok and Instagram, that's all my social media. I don't do anything else.
Yeah. I was like, what would I like be on? Like, I mean, I do stock Tumblr blogs still sometimes because I am that much of a millennial that I do still have a Tumblr account.
True.
But like, I'm not looking on Facebook, you know, like I go to Facebook if I get like notified of something. Like I don't go on Facebook just to go on Facebook. Like I'm not posting on Facebook. I'm not looking at Facebook. So yeah, like it's pretty much Instagram threads on Instagram, which I've never posted a single thread, but I love reading other people's thoughts, and TikTok and the occasional Tumblr. Tumblr will be pretty easy probably to avoid things because I don't really follow like too much Taylor Swift content on there.
No,
but TikTok and Instagram is going to be difficult. So everyone, thoughts and prayers sent our way that we're going to be able to. To avoid things. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'm going to give it an honest try, everyone.
I'm going to give it an honest try as well, but I'm not expecting to stay spoiler-free.
Yeah.
Simply because, like, sometimes my brain goes on autopilot, and I will just open up TikTok without even thinking. And then, you know.
Right.
And then with my algorithm, who knows, you know? Yeah. So I'm just like,
that's what I was like. It's just so hard with TikTok to know what the algorithm might get you. And obviously, like, my algorithm is a lot of Taylor Swift, so... There's a good chance that something would pop up.
My algorithm is a lot of Kendrick Lamar versus Drake.
Mine is recently because last night I went on a whole TikTok deep dive because I was like, I need someone to explain to me the diss tracks, what's going on, why do they hate each other? And I was not disappointed. I really like KJ Miller on TikTok. She has a lot of good Taylor Swift content and just overall just like funny content. She's pretty great. And so she posted the other day about it and was like, I don't even go here, but I love mess. So can someone spill the tea? And I was like, yeah, same. I'm like, I don't go here. I don't, I don't really follow either of their careers. But I would like the tea, please, if someone would like to spill it. And yeah, so I did. I went down a whole rabbit hole and I wasn't disappointed.
As y'all know, I am married to a straight white man.
That's correct. Yes.
So I know... every single detail about this.
Just like unwillingly, he just comes in and he shares it. And you're like, all right, I guess we're discussing.
Days and days and days. It's been pretty much all he's been talking about, which is, you know what? I'm excited for him because this is like his Taylor Swift drop. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 100%. Yeah.
I'm like, this good for you. Moment. Have your little... messy celebrity drama. I love that for you. Yes. Nothing better, really. But really? I think I do want to shout one thing out and not shout anything out. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm tired. I just want to mention one thing about this thing is, as we all know, I mean, we all know that Drake is into children, right?
Yeah. Like that's, yeah. Okay. We're well aware.
So we're well aware. I've been, so, you know, this diss track, they're going back and forth, they're going back and forth. And then finally Kendrick drops it, like, you're a pedophile, you're like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's what really got me hooked. I was like, yeah. Whoa, he really.
You're like, he's being called out for it. Someone's finally saying it out loud.
And I guess a lot of people, or at least a lot of people in my husband's algorithm, so, didn't know that that video of him literally kissing a 17-year-old on stage exists.
Yeah.
Like, they had no idea. I'm like, what?
Of course not. Of course not.
I am not even a Drake person.
And I know about that. Yeah. It's like one of the only things. There are like two things I know about Drake. One, he used to be on Degrassi. Two, he's a pedophile. Like, those are the two things.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Something about Hotline Bling is thrown in there. Like, that's it. That's my Drake knowledge.
Yep. Yep.
So do not go here. I so do not pay any. His post Degrassi career is, I know nothing except for the fact that he's like icky. You know, that's it. That's all that I know.
I don't listen to rap or men very often, but when I do, I do enjoy Kendrick Lamar. I think he's very talented.
I have dabbled in some Kendrick Lamar. All right, everyone, a little fantasy football update for you before we leave you for the evening. And then any other random things we might have to tell you. I think it's about all I got, to be honest. We'll keep this one brief tonight. It's about a short story, so we'll be short-ish tonight. So here's the sitch, okay? As we all know, last year, got Barbie. Pulled Barbie. The way we do my one fantasy football league, it's all movie based. You get a summer movie, and whatever gets the highest box office you get for the, you know, that's your draft pick, right? So I got Barbie last year. I was so stoked. I'm the only female in my fantasy football league, and so I was like, oh my god, to get like the girl power movie and whatnot. And it was like something I could actually root for. I did not know how well it was going to do. Obviously it did phenomenally, which really worked out well for me. I got the overall first draft pick. So this year, as we were heading into the movie, the summer movie season, it came time to pick our summer movies we're going to all have and root for this summer. And then that determines our draft order come September for fantasy football season, right? So I kept hearing on my husband. I was like, I really want Furiosa. I really want Furiosa because, like, last summer I had Barbie. This year I need Furiosa because, like, it's, like, the most, like, yeah, go get him, girl movie of the summer. And it's, like, again, I just, like, want it to be something that I actually want to go see and want to root for to do well. So I was like, but there's no way. Like, there's no way. The odds are stacked against me that 2 years in a row I would, like, get the movie that I want to get, you know? So we're going through it. And there's 14 people in this league, right? So there's 14 different possible movies. And we're picking some. And we have not gotten to Furiosa yet. And we have not gotten to My Name yet. But I'm like, and I'm, like, legitimately nervous as we pick Furiosa. We're finally discussing Furiosa. So we go to pick a name from the hat. And who got it but me? And I'm so stoked. Again, it's not going to do Barbie numbers. I think it's going to probably, as far as the top 10 goes, maybe be like 5 is the highest max that I see it going. I wish for it to do, first of all, I hope it's good. I really liked Mad Max Fury Road. So I really hope that this movie is good, which I think it will be. So I really like it to do well. But even if it doesn't, I was just like, what are the odds that the only girl in the league would get Barbie and then Furiosa? So now I'm already, like, looking ahead to next year. Like, what could be my girl movie of the summer? I'm just really excited. Like, the amount of excitement I got out of pulling it, honestly. And I was like, I can't believe it was me. So very happy. So everyone, go see Furiosa. Help out my fantasy football draft pick. So I'm very excited. And here's hoping that I can kick that Brad Chad's butt this season in fantasy. Really all of their butts, but no, most of them are very good eggs. Every butt will be kicked this year. but particularly that one person's that needs to be kicked. But no, it's good. But yeah, so that's my fantasy football update, everyone. Got Furiosa. Very pleased with it. Go see it. I'm excited to see it this summer. So everyone go see it. Help support the cause.
Love it. I didn't even know what it was. I had to Google it while you were talking. But
have you never seen Mad Max Fury Road?
I've never seen any of the Mad Max movies, no.
Okay, you're not really missing out on the first year. I mean, they're good, but they're whatever. So, ironically, Mad Max Fury Road came out the same day as Pitch Perfect 2, okay? It actually was made by Pitch Perfect 2. And so me, being the woman that I am, I've seen some of the original Mad Max movies. Tina Turner was in one of them. Fucking fantastic. But I was like, eh, whatever. Like, I wanted to go with girlfriends to go see Pitch Perfect 2 because, like, hello, girl power. Pitch Perfect 2 is a fine film. It's not as good as the first one. Let's all be honest with ourselves. You want to know what actually was the feminist movie of the effing summer? Mad Max Fury Road, which is not what I was expecting. And I was like, this movie is, like, hello feminist. And this movie is actually really good. I don't, like, it was not what I was expecting. So anyways, obsessed with it. And very excited for Furiosa because it's going to be, because Furiosa, again, a movie that's called Mad Max, like Furiosa, like, mm-hmm. was the star of that, like, that movie, like, really came out the shining star. Everyone was talking about her and her storyline so much that she got a spinoff. So this is like a prequel, like an origin story basically. But yes, I'm very excited for it. My husband and I, like, every time the trailer, like, we're like fist pumping in the movie theaters because we're like so hyped for it. We're like, brother, please be good. Please be good. So we'll be like severely disappointed if it was bad. But yeah, I just remember, like, that thing. Cause, like, I can't remember. I definitely went and saw it with a couple of girlfriends. But we were all like, oh, like, the boys are going to go see, you know, this movie. And all the girls are going to go see this movie. And, like, you know how it is. It was just, like, the same thing when, like, Barbie opened against Oppenheimer. Like, I wanted the girl movie to win, you know? So yeah. I was like, I hope Pitch Perfect 2 wins, which it did win that weekend box office. And I think overall it won, like, it did higher than Fury Road did over the summer. Although Fury Road did well. But yeah, but then I went and saw Fury Road. I was like, shit, actually, this is kind of the girl power movie.
I love
it. The previews misled me, which honestly was great because it misled so many people. Like, so many dude bros that probably went and watched that movie having no clue how feminist it was. It was like, chef's kiss. So
I love it. Yeah.
I recommend, if you haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road, watch it. And then go watch Furiosa. And hopefully Furiosa will be good.
I have two movies I watched this weekend. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I want to talk about them. First one is Anne Hathaway's new rom-com.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is it called?
The Idea of You? Is that correct?
The Idea of You. Yes. The Idea of You. It was not good. There was, like, absolutely no fleshing out of any conflict whatsoever. It was Anne Hathaway carried that movie on her fucking back. Okay.
Well, that's the way Anne Hathaway does, yes.
Yes. So it was terrible. It was not good. I mean, I'm not going to say it was terrible, but, like, the storyline is, like, you can tell it was a book, and they tried to adapt it, and they didn't do it very well. But anyway, so that happened. But then I watched Anyone But You.
Oh, yes.
That was a lovely. I actually laughed out loud, so I highly recommend.
Yeah, that one's quite cute. I do enjoy that one. We went and saw The Fall Guy recently. Oh. We've seen quite a few movies recently. We went and saw the re-release of Phantom Menace for May the 4th. We went and saw the re-release of Alien. So good. And what was the other new movie that we saw? Clearly not that good if it's not sticking in my memory.
You can't even I don't know.
Something. But we both, Mike and I, have been very hyped for Fall Guy because we love Gosling and we love Emily Blunt. And I love when Emily Blunt gets to be funny because I just feel like in the last few years she's been very, like, serious actress, which is great because she's a phenomenal actress, don't get me wrong. But I love it when she gets to be funny because I think her comedic chops are honestly so good and she's so, like, underutilized as a comedian. But yes, we saw Fall Guy. It was honestly fantastic. Everyone should go see that as well. If you're going to see, like, two movies this summer, let it be Fall Guy and Furiosa. Because Fall Guy was honestly so great. It was, like, really a great action comedy. Like, it had great romance. Like, honestly, like, there really was good chemistry. And, like, you were, like, rooting for the characters to be with each other. And honestly, overall, someone who loves movies, I just loved how much of a love letter it was to the craft of being, you know, doing stunts, essentially. Like, it really was just such a love letter to the stunt community. And the director actually got his start in Hollywood being a stuntman. And it just really showed. Like, you could tell, like, he really just loves, like, there was lots of, like, kind of, like, little in-jokes and stuff. But, like, it really was just, like, such a love letter, I felt like, to, I think, a very underappreciated aspect of filmmaking. So I was really happy that, you know, the old stunt doubles got their shine in this movie. So Yeah, if you're looking for a nice, like, original action comedy romance kind of a bobber, you can't go wrong with the leads, obviously. Go see The Fall Guy. It was very good. I have to know what this other movie is that I saw now. Carry on with saying, wrapping us up, but I'm going to look it up and throw it in there.
Okay. All right. So that's our random episode with the short story. We will be back
Challengers. How did I forget it was Challengers? Oh, Actually, that was good. Yeah.
All right. Oh.
Sexy Tennis. Okay.
I heard it was really good. Actually, I mean, yeah, Zendaya. Really, are you kidding?
Like, are you kidding me? Oh, no. It was phenomenal, honestly. I can't believe I forgot that. Sorry. Just so many movies, so little time. But it was good. Yes.
Yes. That looks really good. But anyway, yeah, we'll be back on what day? Thursday.
Thursday.
Talking about the anthology of the Georgia Poets Department. And we will then be gone for like, what, 2.5 weeks?
2.5 weeks, yeah. And then we'll be back.
And then we'll be back.
With a chaos episode. It'll be our first episode back because we're going to just like want to dump about how great the trip was, obviously. And hopefully, how great the concert was. Hopefully. No, we're being
okay. Well, Bethany's gone, but she wanted to say we're gonna info dump on y'all about the Eras Tour, and it's gonna be great, and we're gonna have a good time. And anyway, enjoy your May. Next month we're reading The Moon and More, and most importantly, take care of yourselves. Bye.